affiliates. Head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates, head on with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Just another muggy mid-November day in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. I guess there's some sort of this pressure system being opposed by that pressure system, and we're going to have some sort of clash of the titans in the sky tonight. So, word of warning down the line to all the listeners, and Ben Birch especially. Unless Verizon has gotten this magnificent T1 line taken care of, God only knows what might happen at the first sign of lightning. Oh, brother. I got a call from him last night. Oh, we ran signal to your smart jack, and it looks like everything's A-OK. Well, there's no thunder outside, fellas. So this time through, if anything goes wrong, we're going to get him on the line right then and there. But that doesn't matter. I'm just glad to live in a place where there's no such thing as global, catastrophic climate change. It just makes me feel ever so much better. It was 75 degrees here today. It's November the 15th, and it was 75 degrees. I got up this morning. I had to take my darling daughter for a dental appointment. And thought, well, you know, it'll be a little nippy outside. Grab the flannel shirt. Big mistake. It's like it was like walking around in a portable sauna. No flannel shirts on November 15th, 2005. Yeah, big mistake. So there's a lot of stuff out there tonight. A lot of stuff to cuss and discuss. Particularly action in the Senate today with regard to torture and with regard to when the hell we're going to get out of Iraq. Let's see. Interesting article from Salon, since we've got a friend who's going to work down on the Gulf Coast in the New Orleans cleanup. Interesting article out of Salon called Halliburton's Gulf Coast Slaves. Yeah, that's going to be, you're going to love that. And, you know how Dear Leader gave that speech Friday where he spit on veterans by not even so much as mentioning them during his little propaganda speech at Ballyhack, or Toblerone or whatever Pennsylvania it was that he went to. Somewhere near Wilkes-Barre, in all honesty. Well, you know, he said, these people
aren't fighting us because of the Crusades, or they're not fighting us because we started the war. They're fighting us because they're implacable terrorists.
Remember that?
Sure.
I got a story. I hope we'll hit it later in the evening. Came from CNN. About one of the bombers in Jordan and a possible motive for why she did what she did, or almost did what she did. Not pleasant. A little white phosphorus update from Iraq for you. Hey, it's being done in our name. We can at least talk about it. Last I checked. And just as with Argentina, protests are gearing up around the world everywhere that dear leader is going to be stopping. My God, there is not a place on this planet short of Outer Mongolia where this guy can go and not be hated. Wait a minute, where is he headed? Outer Mongolia. But they love him on the moon. The moon people love dear leader. And the other moon people too, of course, if you recall. You know, the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, the guy who more or less bought out and bailed out Jerry Falwell's Falwell University. The guy who owns the Washington Times. The guy who owns United Press International. Yeah, that Reverend Moon. The guy who was crowned by a bunch of Republican senators, king of all creation at a ceremony a couple of years ago. Yeah, that Reverend Moon. Woohoo! And we think Kim Jong-il's crazy. What is it with that peninsula? Oh, well. So you know, we've got that as well. In other words, there is no dearth of stuff for us to go through this evening, and I think we're going to have a blast. And a little, well, we've got some audio for you, a little Bill O'Reilly update this evening. Yeah, this guy's a gem. Somebody get a net. So all of that's coming, as well as your phone calls. Of course, the phone number, 304-658-3333, or 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Email, of course, is very easy, bob@headonradio.com, as well as Agnes, my lovely wife and producer, at headonradio.com. The whole my lovely wife and producer part doesn't have to go. It's just agnes@headonradio.com, but you understand that. And finally, you know, look, feel free to run on by headonradio.com. It's a blast. It's a free-for-all. It's unmoderated, uncensored. Just bang away to your heart's content there. We ask nicely for some, you know, civilized behavior, but it breaks apart from time to time. Anyway, doesn't cost you anything, and there are real live wingnuts in there for you to debate with. These are not simulations. So, you know, we create the whole experience for you. And the phones are lighting up already. Phone call when we come back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Decoration Day. Now the mind to roll a stone on his grave. What will he say? Keeping me down, boy, won't keep you away. It's Decoration Day.
Time in a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is Head On. A little nightly dust up. Nightly confrontation with the facts. 17 minutes after the hour, and let's go straight to the phones. Hate to keep people waiting. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good.
Well, I don't think the Full Moon people would like George and their group I used to party with back in the 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We had parties on the Light of the Full Moon back in our golden halcyon days. But I can think of another planet on the solar system that might accept him.
Okay. Mars?
Uranus.
Boom, boom. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, you win that one.
Maybe the Urantians would. Who knows? But it would appear as of 15 minutes ago, Lou Dobbs just published a poll in which 96% of the people polled want the Congress to assume an active role in governing the conduct of this war and giving us a schedule, an exit schedule.
Well, the White House isn't going to do that. The White House has dropped the ball. It's refusing to do its job, Jim. I can see people wanting that.
Well, the White House may not have a choice. I mean, you know, pretty soon one branch of the government is going to have to bow before the other. And this will not be the first time that the executive has had to bow before the legislative.
Well,
they can suffer the penultimate penalty and be impeached, and the ultimate penalty of being removed.
Well, that would, God, that's a happy thought. But, you know, what the Congress gave, the Congress can take away, can they not, Jim? They passed the resolution authorizing the use of force, if necessary. They can rescind that authorization, couldn't they?
They can rescind anything they pass. It's been done before.
Right.
And, you know, let's face it, what has happened, what's gotten us into this mess, it's just been I really think just basic deceit is the fact that we weren't awarded one of those 60 oil contracts by Saddam. That may have been the case of Sedaris. I'm not sure.
Well, and it's worth remembering that he was giving strong consideration to shifting his trade currency or his his benchmark currency over to the euro. Remember that?
Well, I mean,
there's been so much. It's so easy to forget.
I know, and I hate to say it, but you know, that's the way the world's leading anyway. You know, the dollar is taking a second place to the euro, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you're right, because the dollar is hung on
hung on the Hang Seng.
Well, yeah, it's hung on the Hang Seng, and it's hung on the yuan, and that's a pretty flimsy hanger.
I would think so. I would definitely think so. Just an interesting note, there seems to be a problem, and I heard this on another radio program around here about people in San Francisco not wanting recruiters to come into school.
People of San Francisco passed a largely symbolic referendum last Tuesday, a week ago, forbidding military recruiters from coming onto the public into the public schools.
And, of course, the reply to that was, well, if they don't want the recruiters in their schools, then they should be denied federal protection as far as armed services are concerned.
Exactly. Bill O'Reilly invited Al-Qaeda to bomb the Coit Tower.
Exactly. And I just thought to myself, you know, this tit-for-tat, a quid pro quo thing, it's not even a mature response. I mean, you know, there are people calling in who say that San Francisco should be allowed to float off into the sea and this, that, and the other. But, I mean, you know, I have worked with recruiters and youth arrest, and I know what a hard job they have. And my hat goes off to them. It really does.
Yeah.
Because it is difficult. So there are a lot of schools in West Virginia.
Sure.
And guidance counselors who did not welcome those recruiters. And I used to have to talk to them and try to get them into school.
Well, Jim, I think what's really under a lot of people's skin these days...
I understand both sides of the coin, yeah, is what I'm trying to say.
Right, I do too. But the playing field at this point in time is tilted because of a very obscure, and this isn't part of the Patriot Act, a very obscure portion of the No Child Left Behind Act that mandates...
No money.
No, well, it's, yeah, you have, no, it mandates that every school in the union, every public school, afford military recruiters access to every student. That's name, address, phone number, social security number, everything. And as a parent, and we've got a teenager, as a parent, you have to proactively opt out of that system.
I know you do. My problem with recruiters is this. These people, and some of them are honorable, and I'm afraid you've got some that are not. And, you know, a lot of times they're not even told to tell students about educational benefits, student loan repayment, tuition assistance, and things like that, unless they could use that as a hook to grab them. And these recruiters, some of them will promise these kids anything just to make their mission.
The
know?
Sun, moon, and stars. Well, look at the story.
And that's not right.
No, look at the story that came out of Ohio a few months back. A student journalist in a high school there went to a recruiter and said, you know, dude, I'd like to join the Army, you know, but I've got this, like, you know, pot problem. And the recruiter said, son, here, and takes him to a head shop.
Yeah, where you can get that stuff by Zyandot, the drug test.
Yeah, the urine cleanse. Does that for him and then says, well, you know, like, I did have, like, a juvenile record and stuff. Don't worry, son, we'll sweep that under the rug. Just tell them no when they ask you if you've got any convictions. That's dishonest.
Well, you know, it isn't a good beginning for a person who wants to make the military a career, that's for sure.
No.
And I think that, you know, you've got to be ethical and you've got to be straight with people, because if you're not, it's going to come back and hit you in the face. And USAREC, which is the organ that handles all recruiting, I think it's headquartered in Kentucky at,
Fort Knox, maybe?
Fort Knox, right. That's the headquarters of USAREC. It used to be Chicago. But anyway, they've had a lot of scandals in that particular branch of the service because of bad tactics that are used, and you know, this does not help the volunteer army, it hurts it. And the fact that we are involved in a war like this in Iraq I mean, this does not encourage people to go into the Marines or the Army. And if I were a parent, I really don't think I'd want my child to be cannon fodder for the whims of people like Dick Cheney and George Bush.
That's precisely the point that I think the people of San Francisco were making.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what they're saying.
And you know, the other thing that's worth bearing in mind, your upscale, well-funded, nice neighborhood schools, that's not where the recruiters go.
Oh, no. They go to inner-city schools.
They go to the schools where kids don't have have any hope. You know, and
or places where the judge says, you know, you can either go to this institution or you can go to that institution. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Exactly. So, you know, I can understand the sentiment of the people of San Francisco.
Well, I see both sides of the coin, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And one other thing I wanted to add, on this morning show, and I hope he's listening, this guy named David, he calls himself David,
mm-hmm.
and he sounds like he needs a real hefty shot of testosterone himself. And he was making negative comments about Logo, the gay and lesbian channel that's on the upper channels of Charter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he said that he came into a gay porno movie.
Really?
There ain't no such thing on that channel, because I watch it, and they have some good movies on there. I mean, you know, everything from Cabaret to just crazy movies like Psycho Beach Party, stuff like that. I mean, it's just a fun channel.
Yeah, why not call it the camp channel, you know?
And they have a lot of, you know, they have a lot of interesting entertainment. And he was just going on about that, and I thought to myself, well, you know, if somebody's sitting there with a 45 at your head making you watch this channel, and even the morning host had to say, well, you know, nobody's making you look at it.
Oh, mercy, you're agreeing with that dude in the morning, Jim.
Well, I mean, he had a sense of...
The sun's going to rise in the west, or the moon's going to fall from the sky.
Well, I mean, even he had... Well, you know, he doesn't like Walmart, neither do I. But, I mean, you know, that's something else we've got in common. But, I mean, even he had the common sense to say, well, you know, no one's making you watch it, or worse to that effect.
Yeah, I understand.
And, you know, but this guy was talking about gay porno. And, there, you know... If you go to HBO Real Sex and stuff like that, you see the real hard porno. I've seen that channel, okay?
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, this other channel, it doesn't have anything like that on there.
And well, you know, I've got a story in here. I'm glad you brought it up, Jim. We've got to hit the break, but a story about a supposedly a majority of Americans supporting cracking down on obscenity. We'll probably get to that later in the show. Thanks for bringing up the idea, though.
Well, you know, methinks, Miss David, methinks I thus protest too much.
Thank you, Mr. Shakespeare.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Jim. All right, break time. Yeah, that's an interesting little survey. This is Head On.
We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
I love how that works. Almost 26 minutes and change before the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and a quick little media reminder for you. This just came across the email during the break, and I wanted to share it with you because it's an event on C-SPAN, and I'd hate to have you tune away, but 9:30 tonight Eastern Time. C-SPAN from the House floor. Three really inspiring Democratic members of Congress, namely Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Kendrick Meek from Ms. Wasserman Schultz is from Florida's 20th District. Kendrick Meek is from Florida's 17th. And Tim Ryan, who is also a rising star among liberal Democrats in the House, will all be on the floor. They call themselves the 30-somethings. And they ask, please join the 30-something members on Tuesday, November 15th from 9:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. for 30-something Live. This is pretty forward-thinking. The 30-something hour is a chance for 30-something members of Congress to talk for an hour on the House floor, 9:30 to 10:30 p.m., about issues that affect the next generations of Americans. These hours are not filled with the typical speeches heard on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives, but rather a back-and-forth discussion between 30-something members, as opposed to the stodgy, old, courting death, pasty-faced, doughy Republicans like, say, Jim Sensenbrenner, that hateful from Wisconsin. Now, what's going to happen if you... They're going to be taking questions from average Americans. They can't say which average Americans they're taking questions from because of the rules of the House. All remarks have to be addressed to the Speaker. I mean, you know how, Mr. Speaker! That kind of thing. But they will be answering questions that have been submitted. And they invite people, go to 30-something Dems. .com, I believe. You'll probably find an update about this. And I've caught a couple of their appearances, and while it's you know, not quite up to snuff with a Pink Floyd concert, it's pretty darned inspiring from a political standpoint. So from 9:30 to 10:30 tonight, well, you know, catch the last half hour. Tune in at 10 after this is over. The 30-something Dems answering questions of average Americans about the future of the 30-something generation. Looks kind of interesting. Now, Jim mentioned something in his phone call about the foo-frog created when Bill O'Reilly invited Al-Qaeda to bomb the Coit Tower in San Francisco because San Francisco had voted to throw military, you know, just not throw them off, but you know, look, you're not allowed. And I thought you might enjoy hearing a little bit of it, because O'Reilly, of course, had to come back and try to justify himself. Cut one there. Let's hear O'Reilly trying to justify himself for inviting Al-Qaeda to attack San Francisco.
So I'm glad the smear sites made a big deal out of it, because now we can all know who is with the anti-military internet
crowd.
Well,
that's not the cut we
were
after.
We'll post the names of all who support the smear merchants on BillO'Reilly.com. So check in with us.
We'll work backwards from that. What O'Reilly...
And then I went on to do a satirical riff with a serious point. Why should the USA protect San Francisco from terrorists if they, in the city, are trying to undermine a military? We posted the entire monologue on BillO'Reilly.com.
Okay, did you? A satirical riff. Okay, let's hear the satirical riff now. Now, wait. Easy on that trigger finger, Agnes. He said it was a satirical riff. Now, I eat, breathe, sleep, live satire. Do a lot of it. And, you know, satire, you know it when you hear it. You know, you'll get a funny voice. Mavis! Satire. Parody. Well, here is Bill O'Reilly. You listen and see if you hear any funny voices, if you can hear any sarcasm dripping. No, sorry. This guy was serious as a heart attack. Because you got to understand, Falafel Boy Bill O'Reilly hates San Francisco, you know, because San Francisco's full of them queers. You understand? He's a bigot. He's a hateful bigot. He's also a racist, but that's not part of it right now. So, see if you can hear the satire. Here it is again. Played it a couple of nights ago. See if you can hear the satire.
Hey, you know, if you want to ban military recruiting, fine, but I'm not going to give you another nickel of federal money. You know, if I'm the President of the United States, I walk right in to Union Square, I set up my little presidential podium, and I say, listen, citizens of San Francisco, if you vote against military recruiting, you're not going to get another nickel in federal funds. Fine. You want to be your own country? Go right ahead. And if Al-Qaeda comes in here and blows you up, we're not going to do anything about it. We're going to say, look, every other place in America is off limits to you except San Francisco. You want to blow up the Koi Tower? Go ahead.
Sounded deadly in earnest to me. How about you? But, you know, this guy's a conservative. This guy is a right-winger. He's anti-American. They all are. They hate the principles upon which this country was founded. They hate the liberality that gave birth to this nation. Liberals like Washington, Franklin, Adams, Jefferson, they divided into factions themselves, but they all had in common a great deal of liberal thought. Had they not been liberals, there would have been no revolution. Because conservatives lean toward that authoritarian streak. Conservatives like having absolute monarchs and absolute power. Liberals don't. We want to expand human potential. So you heard him say that, and you know, God, the way they frame these things, it's absolutely disgusting. If you want to vote against military recruiting, what a moron. I mean, what an addle-pated booby Bill O'Reilly must be. The people of San Francisco didn't vote against military recruiting. I'm sure that all over the San Francisco Bay Area, even in Berkeley, for God's sakes, I am sure that there are military recruiting stations that are still open and still doing business. What the people of San Francisco said was, we don't want you preying on our children while they're trying to get an education, okay? There will be plenty of time for George Bush to get them killed later, but we don't want you preying on them when they're trying to learn the quadratic theory, or the quadratic equation, or the Pythagorean theorem, or Boyle's gas laws, for God's sakes. Leave the children alone while they're trying to learn. You can get them slaughtered later. Stay out of the schools. That's all San Francisco said. They didn't say end military recruiting. They said, quit preying on the children while they're trying to learn. Easy enough to do. You understand? Of course you understand. You're liberal, you're democratic, you're progressive. You're decent human beings. You understand. Yeah, dear?
But, Bob, this is the same guy that mistakes a loofah for falafel.
Oh, that's why we call him Falafel Boy.
No, wait. And then writes a children's book, which these people go out and buy.
Oh, yeah.
So, evidently, a pervert can write a child's book and be a bestseller. So, what's being eaten up in America? Perversion?
Well, yeah, that could be some of your perversions there. Let's go to the phones. Gary's with us. Hey, Gary, you're head on. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Bob. I got a bit of a cold here, as you can probably tell. So,
Get on the chicken soup.
Hey, I'd like to clear something up for you.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave, when he was on Steve's morning show.
Yeah.
He made a mistake. He got onto the local access channel. What that was a love fest between Steve O'Brien, Brandon, Jeff, and Al. it was pornographic, but I mean,
that's enough to bring up supper, Gary.
Yeah, it was bad. It really was. Hey, and another thing too about Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
He said he would withdraw all his federal money from these people. See, that's the way these guys like to operate. It's this hook system.
Yeah.
You know, either you do what we say or we're going to take money away from you. And they have used that little system just to extend federal power and control into every last nook and cranny in America.
Well, sure.
And, you know, I see where Bill O'Reilly, he's all for that.
So, well, now he is. I mean, he's all for that exercise of absolute power as long as he's the one exercising it.
Well, yeah, and I've noticed that a lot with this current crop of Republicans who I am utterly and absolutely disgusted with. And you know I call myself a conservative.
Right.
But I'm not. What these people are, they're not conservative to me.
No, they're fascists.
They are fascists. And they have spent and spent and spent. They don't resemble anything at all I know to be conservative. And, you know, Pat Buchanan, I would call him a conservative. But they have called him a socialist.
They've called him. They've called him everything except a human being since he came out against George's little blood fest.
Yeah, and so when people start calling Pat Buchanan a liberal, a socialist, and all that, well, I mean, I just know that, you know, whatever they are, they're not conservatives.
Well, that you know, and it goes. It just goes to show the shallowness of their perception. To call Pat Buchanan any kind of a liberal, well, one, it's an insult to liberals.
Well, it is. Yes, it is.
But the other side of it is that shows you, Gary, that shows you how much they have messaged the word liberal. I mean, you know, if the Republicans could get away with it, they would use liberal as a replacement word for kiddie rapist.
Well, have you noticed there's one particular...
And they have.
There's one particular person on your message board whose name I won't mention, but whose initials are J-E-F-F. If you disagree...
What am I going to do with you?
On anything, you are automatically a liberal.
Oh, yeah. Well, and see, you know, those kind of people are the ones... they will be there for George Bush when his poll numbers have plummeted to, you know, 19%. There's always going to be nasty little snaky knot of people who will, you know, I've said it before, who if they saw video footage of George Bush drowning kittens would swear that it was a Creekside baptizing.
Well, I predict that they're all going to end up together down in Guyana, down in Jim Jones's old camp down there. They'll all be drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, sitting down to the Kool-Aid social.
Yeah, that's where they all end up at.
Well, you know, it's worth... I don't know if you saw those poll numbers on George Bush and Black America. He's down to 2% approval, and the margin of error was something like plus or minus 4%, so he could actually be at minus 2% with Black America. That's where we're... You know, there is a group of people who will support him no matter what. I ran across something on one of the CNN message boards where a fella said, well, George Bush ain't very popular right now, but then again, neither was Jesus Christ.
Well, that's great, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it's one of those run around naked in the yard screaming kind of moments. But
you know, I'll tell you what, though, George Bush, when the nomination process came up, it's just like you turn the TV on and they said he's the front runner, and the next day, well, he's the nominee.
Yeah, that wasn't a nomination process. That was a coronation.
Yes, exactly. I mean, and people that stood up to oppose him any at all were just run out of town on a rail. I mean, look at the way they treated Pat Buchanan and Alan Keyes and anybody else who had anything at all to say about George Bush.
Well, you know, look at what they did to McCain in South Carolina. You know, the push polls by telephone. You do know that John McCain has a Negro baby, don't you? Yeah, they did that to him. The Bush camp did that to John McCain.
Well, George Bush, in the image of a successful politician, is one dirty SOB. He's not the only one that's been like that. I mean, I could name names, you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
He's a very crafty, underhanded man. And it's got him, I guess, where he's at today.
Well, I tend to disagree with you a little bit, Gary, because I think he is surrounded by crafty, underhanded people, and they're the ones who've gotten him where he is. I don't know. I don't know how much substance there is to George W. Bush, to be quite honest. He's not able to process. All he's able to do is regurgitate the hateful talking points that he's given by people like, Pearl and Wolfowitz and Cheney. You know, the whole Project for a New American Century crowd. And that's all he's done all along is regurgitate.
Well, you know, I think one of the secrets of being a success, either in politics or business, either one, is surround yourself with the right people. I think if you have the right people around you, you don't have to be that bright to be a success. I mean,
well, he's proven it. He's living it.
Well, you don't take that the wrong way. He'll never go down in history. A person like that will never go down in history as a great president. But I know, for example, a guy I went to school with, and he's a very, very successful businessman. And when we were in school, he never struck me as being particularly bright at all. And somebody I know was talking to him one day, and he said, well, you know, the secret to my success isn't me. I'm not that smart. He says, I get the right people behind me. He says, that's why I'm a success. And so that's a lot of George Bush. And, you know, quite honestly, if I was in his position, if I was a president, I'd go out and get the smartest darn people I could find behind me, too.
Yeah, but somewhere along the way, I think if you were in George Bush's position, you'd actually want to be president, Gary.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, there has to be some sort of, I don't know if you call it ideological monolith or something there, something that you stand for, what your presidency is all about.
Yeah, he's a paper tiger.
Well, he's just kind of a... He just operates on the rules of expedience only, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
There are no principles behind him.
Yeah, well, the right-wing talking points, Gary, things like, George Bush doesn't pay attention to polls. This guy is the most poll-sensitive individual that has ever occupied the White House. And you and I both know that. He flaps in the breeze. He's the ultimate flip-flopper. All the way from his early campaign promise to cap CO2 emissions. The minute he got in, though, I think CO2's okay. They put it in my sody pop, and it ain't hurt me yet. You know, everything he's done has been a flip-flop, Gary.
Well, you know what? When he was first elected, I said to myself, I wonder how long it'll be before the oil companies come in and get their share of the profits, you know?
Well, and little did we know, they were already in there with Dick Cheney's super secret, double secret probation energy gouging group. That's the meetings where they had the maps of Iraq laid out with all the pipelines located and ICE. Okay, Exxon gets this one and ConocoPhillips, you can have that one. And it all came out through a lawsuit by an otherwise weird right wing organization called Judicial Watch.
Yeah.
It's there for anybody who bothers to see it, but again, the fundamental problem we deal with, Gary, is the American zeitgeist of being politically dirt stupid in the majority and fascinated with desperate housewives or, you know, Donald Trump or, hell, that segment of the population that's obsessed with Terrell Owens right now.
Well, tell me something, Bob, because I've pondered that very thing many, many times. How do you break that? How do you get the American people just simply to wake up?
There's an awakening taking place right now, and it's happening as a result of the war. Because I know you've read it, Mark Twain's War Prayer. You know, that was written in 1902, 1901, and he catalogs the absolute the fervor, the bloodthirsty yearning that the American people have at the front end of a war. And everybody who opposes the war is a bad person and gets shouted down and called un-American. There's nothing new that happened in the run-up to this war that hasn't happened before. And one of the things that changes things is there's a tipping point that comes after we've had our belly full of death for no good apparent reason. In Vietnam, it took from, 1960, 61? It took till 1969. It took 9 years. Before the American people woke up and got tired of it.
Well, you know, I know you've been talking about recruiting kids in school and stuff like that. I used to be a very patriotic guy, and I believed, you know, hey, if there's a war, I'd go fight and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But, you know, you get older and you start looking at things from a different perspective, and you look at all these darn wars, that there's no reason for them to begin with most of the time. And on the other half of the time, what did they ever accomplish? Vietnam's a good example of that. Well, 55,000 lives lost for what? In this particular war, and we've talked about this before, Saddam Hussein goes to the American ambassador to Iraq, and he says, I'm thinking about invading Kuwait. What do you think? And we said, hey, man, we don't care.
Good on you, Saddam.
Yeah, and so then he does it, and what do you know? We're in a war. So these politicians create these wars time and time again. Look at the Versailles Treaty, which was just designed to start World War II.
Sure it was.
And time after time after time.
Well, what was it, 1930, 1938, when General Smedley Butler, you know, Marine Corps general, for heaven's sakes, wrote the very famous book, War is a Racket.
I had forgotten his name, and I've been thinking about that lately and trying to remember it. Thanks for telling me who that is.
If you want to get your hands on it, it's kind of tough to come by. They may still have a few premium copies left over at BuzzFlash, Gary.
Okay.
You give a donation, they send you a book. If you look around, there's a list of their premiums. They may still have some copies. They had a few not too long back.
You know, Robert E. Lee, at the end of his life, he would march in parades, and he would always march out of time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the biggest mistake he ever made in his life was choosing the military for career. I mean, and I know that sometimes people have to fight, but I...
Well, and that's the point, Gary. We, the American people, and let's just be square about this, up until from 1812 to Pearl Harbor, and accepting out the Civil War... The American people have never been faced with foreign invasion. Our generation hasn't.
Yeah.
And I include 9/11 in that, too. But I have no doubt that the liberals, the Democrats, the progressives, the free thinkers like yourself, Gary, my God, if we were invaded by a foreign power, there is not one of us here who would not be in the streets with our guns and ready to go.
Yeah.
But there is a great big drive a Mack truck through it difference between that and going off to fight for our share of peak oil.
Well, most of the time, you're a soldier in any war, going back thousands of years, is always just a pawn on a chessboard.
Well, right, of course.
That's all you are. That's all your life is. You're not defending your homeland. You're out there trying to make some sort of political point for somebody. And Vietnam is a great example of that. I mean, all those guys killed really for what?
Nothing.
I had a member of my family who lost their life due to that war, who would still probably be around today. And it was great. He was a great person too. He really was. He was a real lost our family. And all this for what? I mean, one thing I will say, and maybe we'll part company on this. I do believe if you get into a war, you should do every last thing you can to win it, or don't even ever think of getting in one in the first place.
Well, we're not going to part company on that, Gary. But the thing is, it's the decision making process where you make the determination about which wars you're going to get into. We've got to have people who can understand which wars are winnable and which ones aren't. Vietnam is an unwinnable war. Iraq is an unwinnable war. I wish it wasn't, but it is. I've enjoyed the conversation, Gary. It's so good to be hearing from you. Hope we'll hear from you again soon.
Thank you, Bob.
Take care.
Bye.
Little break. We'll be back. This is Head On.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Oh, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
the world to turn around. All I hope to come to be. And people gather around. They are all what they can bring. And nobody went with that. Only then I saw them sing. The revolution starts now. Said it was your duty, yours to fulfill. You joined the peacetime army, it's no longer a drill. Take a look around, if you have any doubts. To free the world from tyranny, that's what this is about. And they say, it's gonna take some time. Every day, there's one less of you in line. You are the sons and daughters of the working class, ordinary people with a monumental task. But the world isn't patient, knowing little of your pain. They hold you to a standard themselves they can't sustain. And at home, the pundits start to spin. Politicians and oil men cash in. Widows and orphans cry themselves to sleep at night. Corporations get in line, there's contracts to write. The rich man's war and a poor man's fight. God bless your blood, God bless your sacrifice, God bless the innocents that died in the fight. There's hell on the horizon, fire on the earth, time to tell the truth, what is this worth? And the children that today are playing games, conscription, tomorrow calls their names. Widows and orphans cry themselves to sleep at night. Corporations get in line, there's contracts to write. Widows and orphans cry themselves to sleep at night. Corporations get in line, there's contracts to write. Rich man's war and a poor man's fight. Rich man's war and a poor man's fight.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Round and around and around we go. About 5.5 minutes after the hour. Like B-Rez said, hour number two. The phone numbers, of course, locally 304-658-3333. Outside the area, if you need us to pay the freight, by George, we're happy to do so. 877-443-2366. Just curiously, that happens to spell 4 head-on. 877-4-HEAD-ON. An email to bob@headonradio.com. Now, as you know, in his little speechifying the last
two or three times. Dear Leader, that speech he gave in this shows what an even lower regard he has for the veterans of this country, the people who actually served in the military, as opposed to himself, who was busy protecting South Texas from, I don't know, what, the Mexicans during the Vietnam War. George Bush's speech this past Friday up there near Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, was the same speech he'd given a few days earlier. Now, I'm not kidding. It's just disgusting. Word for word, the same speech. Forget where I saw it, but you could, in fact, it was laid out word by word, sentence by sentence by sentence. It was the same identical speech he had given about a week before. He's so lazy, so slippery, so slimy, that he can't even be bothered, his people can't even be bothered, to come up with a new propaganda speech, even if it's Veterans Day. It's pathetic. But in that speech, you know, they're not fighting us, these terrorists, they're not fighting us because of the Crusades. They're not fighting us because of what was done to them during the breakup of the Ottoman Empire at the end of the First World War. That silly litany. No. Maybe for once in his sorry life, he was correct. This woman who was captured, this alleged bomber whose bomb belt didn't go off in Jordan, from CNN. Jordanian authorities said an Iraqi woman who confessed to taking part in a suicide bombing operation against Amman hotels has told them, oh, this is just sickening, has told them that three of her brothers were killed by U.S. forces in Iraq. The would-be bomber's Jordanian brother-in-law, an explosives expert with experience in Afghanistan, also died fighting U.S. troops in Iraq. You understand? That's why they're fighting us. Right, George. It's not because of the Crusades. At least not the one 1,000 years ago. It's because of your crusade, George. Yours. And what John Kuntz sang is true. Widows and orphans cry themselves to sleep at night because of George. This woman lost three brothers and a brother-in-law fighting us. What have I said all along? What have I said about the long memories for vengeance these folks have? What? If you are a father and you carry the blasted remains of your baby girl out of the rubble where your home once stood before the Tomahawk cruise missiles came through, would you not swear undying vengeance against the ones who did it to you? If you had any children who survived the blast, would you not sit them down with you every night and say, I may not be able to get them. You may not be able to get them. Your children may not be able to get them. But tell this story through the generations so that someday, we will have our vengeance. You know, because the book says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But there are a lot of people out there who are willing to do the Lord's work when it comes to that. Weren't we doing the Lord's work when we laid out plans for attacking Afghanistan and Donald Rumsfeld said, yeah, but there's no good targets there. That's why we need to attack Iraq. Weren't we exacting our vengeance? We have taken out our vengeance for the acts of 15 Saudis and a couple of Egyptians and a Yemeni on September 11th. We've taken our vengeance out for that on the people of Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, I know there are some people who try to live Christian lives who listen to this program. The question that must be answered is taking that kind of vengeance what America should be about? Saudis attacked us. Not Iraqis. And yet, in his speech in Pennsylvania Friday, George stood up there and said, what was it? Oh, we don't still have that. No, it's gone now. I think I erased it. Equated 9/11 and the Iraq War. And now, on the WhiteHouse.gov webpage, they're attacking people like Senator Carl Levin for pointing out the fact that, well, you know, Iraq was nothing related to 9/11. God. So why are they fighting us? Ask the lady bomber. Ask her about her three brothers. Ask the father who carries the mangled remains of his little baby boy or baby girl or both out of the shattered hulk of a mud hut why he wants to see us die, why he wants to see us suffer forevermore. Go to, since as I pointed out Friday, since George saw fit to quote Surah 5, verse 32 of the Quran that says, killing an innocent is like killing the whole of humanity. Read that and read verse 33 and see what Allah says about people who attack innocents. See what he has waiting in store for them. It's not a pretty picture. Let's take a break. This is Head On.
In the comfort of your armchair, you feel safe. You lack it there. Too aloof to get involved. You are above it all. In the right costume, at the right pace. Fear can pass for grace. Or maybe you just don't have the time.
On a time in a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Almost 19 minutes after the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob. And, of course, we call it conversation radio. So if you feel inclined to get into the conversation, well, for God's sakes, don't sit there. Pick up the phone, 304-658-3333, or 877-443-2366. That spells four Head On. And jump right into the conversation. I wanted to share this with you from, Dar Jamal is an unembedded reporter. Those of you who are progressive, liberal, decent, upstanding human beings, you'll be familiar with Dar Jamal's work. He's been reporting from the real Iraq for some time now, and he filed this dispatch with the Independent of the U.K., Abu Sabah knew he had witnessed something unusual. Sitting in November last year in a refugee camp on the grounds of Baghdad University, set up for the families who fled or were driven from Fallujah, this resident of the city's Jolan district told me how he had witnessed some of the battle's heaviest fighting. Quote, "They used these weird bombs that put up smoke like a mushroom cloud," he said.
You see there, Bob's going to say we're using nuclear devices in Iraq. Everybody knows that ain't so.
See, that's satire. He had seen, quote, pieces of these bombs explode into large fires that continued to burn on the skin even after people dumped water on the burns. A doctor from Fallujah working in Saqlawiya, on the outskirts of Fallujah, described treating victims during the siege, quote, who had their skin melted. He asked to be referred to simply as Dr. Ahmed because of fears of reprisals for speaking out. The people and bodies I have seen were definitely hit by fire weapons,
and had no other shrapnel wounds. Burhan Fassah, a freelance cameraman working for the Lebanese Broadcasting Corporation, witnessed the first 8 days of the fighting. Quote, "I saw cluster bombs everywhere and so many bodies that were burnt, dead, with no bullets in them," he said. "So they definitely used fire weapons, especially in Jolan district." Mr. Fassah said that while he sold a few of his clips to Reuters, LBC would not show tapes he submitted to them. He smuggled some tapes out of the city before his gear was taken from him by U.S. soldiers. If there's nothing to fear, why confiscate his tape? Some saw what they thought were attempts by the military to conceal the use of incendiary shells. The Americans were dropping some of the bodies into the Euphrates near Fallujah, said one ousted resident. Dr. Ahmed said in the center of the Jolan quarter, they were removing entire homes, which have been bombed. Meanwhile, most of the homes that were bombed are left as they were. He said he saw bulldozers push soil into piles and loaded onto trucks to carry away. In certain areas where the military used special munitions, he said 200 square meters of soil was being removed from each blast site. What we're talking about here is white phosphorus, Willy Pete. We are talking about a chemical weapon. We are talking about a weapon of mass destruction. Horrifying. And guess what? When this issue was first raised, what did we hear? What did we hear from the Pentagon?
We used some white phosphorus shells. We used them for illumination at night, but we never used them from a military standpoint. Guess what?
Associated Press, 35 minutes ago. Pentagon officials acknowledged today that U.S. troops used white phosphorus as a weapon against insurgent strongholds during the Battle of Fallujah last November. But they denied it was used against civilians, because this is smart white phosphorus, right? It only hits the bad people. Our good, godly, upstanding Christian white phosphorus doesn't burn and melt the skin of babies when it lands on it. Oh, no, this is smart white phosphorus. It only hits the baddies. Bug spray. God, I hate being lied to. How do they know it wasn't used against civilians, huh? Of course it was used against civilians. It was used against anybody in a 150-meter radius of the cloud that it forms.
I don't understand why them Iraqis don't like us and don't just let us give them democracy like we want to do.
Sickening. Jim's back with us. Hey, Jim. You're head on.
Hey, hello?
Yeah.
You know, just a quick note to what you were saying. If you want to use illumination at night and you don't have the infrared goggles, you use star shells.
Yeah, I know.
And this phosphorus and JDAMs, that's just a hell of a way to win the hearts and minds of anybody.
It's chemical warfare, Jim.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you know, it started out with shock and awe.
Yeah, but they put this business about using it for illumination out there for the idiots who, you know, who spend their time watching...
Fox.
Yeah, Fox, exactly.
Well, I mean, I know for a fact that if you want to make the battlefield into day and it's night, you can use star cells. And, you know...
They've got the little parachute attached to them. They hang up there.
That's right.
Right.
You don't use phosphorus. My God, I mean, phosphorus, that stuff can blow back on you. I mean, that's a nasty, dirty thing.
Yeah, it is. And what the Pentagon's having to deal with now is a documentary by Italian state television, you know, our partners in the Coalition of the Billing, that are showing video evidence. InformationClearinghouse.com has it now. Mm. You can see it. You'll never see it on American television because we're not allowed to see that kind of thing here in our free country.
Well, you know, I thought perhaps we had learned some lessons from World War II, but you remember Bomber Harris, who was in charge of the air campaign against Germany?
Sure, Dresden.
Well, not only Dresden, but Hamburg and all these cities. I mean, I think it was in Hamburg one night where 800,000 people were made homeless, but nonetheless, these were civilians, and the scenes of the bombed-out cities, particularly when these firestorms would start, were absolutely horrible. And later it was proved that that type of warfare did not end the war any more quickly.
No, it was pure retribution. It was Hamburg and Dresden were retribution for Coventry.
Coventry,
exactly.
And you know that. And
we destroyed more in Tokyo with firebombing than we did with the nuclear devices.
Well, the nature of the construction of their homes of bamboo, rice paper, and stuff like that, and wood and things of that nature, it lent itself more to incineration than a brick city. But my God. When you look at some of the cities that have been leveled by these incendiaries and things of that nature, I mean, at least history should teach us that this just does not accomplish the mission that we say that it does. And then, you know, when you lie and tell lies that we're using phosphorus for illumination, that's too much.
It is indeed. We've got to hit it.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, history teaches only the willing pupil. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm 6.
I'm 9.
I'm 4.5.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
a night or two.
It's time for the Copajo Report. I'm your host, Joe Vecchio, and it's Take a Walk Tuesday. You know, considering how much money the top reporters in the so-called professional media make, you'd at least think they'd be able to buy a clue. Look, during the Clinton years, there was an almost constant call for impeachment by the press, even though most Americans didn't think that having an affair was something you should get kicked out of office for. And now we've got a president whose approval ratings are in the mid-30s, and who clearly lied to us about something as important as going to war, and you would think that these well-paid, well-educated professionals would be even more enthusiastic to remove a president from office because of this. You'd be wrong. Try talking about impeaching Mr. Bush and you're treated like you'd just come from another planet. It just goes to show how big a bubble these people live in the professional media, and how insulated they are from what us working people have to go through every day. Face it, if you screwed up this badly at your job, you'd get fired in a heartbeat, and not a lot of people would stand up for you, and rightfully so. And these people all have college educations. What did they do all that time? Auditions for Girls Gone Wild? When your standards are that low, why even bother hiring college grads? Just place an ad in the paper, and the first group that shows up gets the job. At least they could find the place. You'd save a lot of time on interviews, that's for sure. They certainly couldn't do much worse, and they'd probably do it for a lot cheaper, too. It's a sad shape of affairs, ladies and gentlemen, when that's the standard you set in professional journalism. See you tomorrow. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Thought you might enjoy that. Got in touch with Joe, who does a very fine show of his own, the Cup of Joe show, and invited him to give us a little something for the bottom of the hour, and I think that's going to be a very nice addition to the program, and many, many thanks to Joe for producing it for us. And, of course, don't forget to, like I said, check out the Ordinary show. Ordinary. There's nothing ordinary about it. His daily or more frequent show. I'm going to get this right yet. Okay, so it's about 23 minutes before the hour. We're halfway through this evening. A little bit more on Fun with White Phosphorus. Now, we've got the story there. Pentagon used white phosphorus in Iraq. The spokesman referred reporters to an article in the March-April 2005 edition of the Army's Field Artillery magazine. We talked about that. An official publication of the U.S. Army in which veterans of the Fallujah fight spelled out their use of white phosphorus and other weapons. White phosphorus proved to be an effective and versatile munition. We fired shake-and-bake missions at the insurgents using WP to flush them out and high explosives to take them out. And as noted before, it was, of course, smart white phosphorus that would never burn a child. Despite the fact that there is ample evidence to suggest that it did. That's another case of, you know, your lying eyes. The question, though, becomes one of, if, in fact, we didn't hit any civilians, who were the burned-up civilians in the video? And moreover, why, after the filming, showing of the Italian documentary that no American will ever be allowed to see on American television, why did the U.S. Embassy in Rome, after the broadcast, issue this statement? To maintain that U.S. forces have been using white phosphorus against human targets is simply mistaken. Well, now we know from the Pentagon itself says we did. And then the U.S. ambassador in London, Robert Tuttle, writes to the Independent newspaper saying that WP was only used as an obscurant or else for marking targets. Now, I know some of you are veterans, some of you are combat veterans. Do we really use white phosphorus shells for smoke targets? I thought we had red smoke and blue smoke and all kinds of different colored smokes for different purposes. White phosphorus is not effective for that, and yet Robert Tuttle, you know, a bush toady, said, U.S. forces participating in Operation Iraqi Freedom continue to use appropriate, lawful, and conventional weapons against legitimate targets. U.S. forces do not use napalm or phosphorus as weapons. Technically, I suppose he's correct. We don't use napalm. It's not called napalm anymore. It's called MK-77. It's new, improved, extra sticky, ultra hot burning napalm. But it's not napalm. Just like Nexium isn't really Prilosec. It's improved Prilosec. And I suppose we don't use white phosphorus because we've got a better, more advanced form of it. As the report from the Independent notes, both those two statements are by Mr. Tuttle and the U.S. Embassy in Rome are undermined by first-hand evidence from troops who took part in the fighting, as well as the Pentagon's own admission. Another first-hand account from the battlefield was provided by an embedded reporter for the North County News, a San Diego newspaper. Reporter Darren Mortensen wrote of watching Corporal Nicholas Boggart fire WP rounds into Fallujah. He wrote, Boggart is a mortar team leader who directed his men to fire round after round of high explosives and white phosphorus charges into the city Friday and Saturday, never knowing what the targets were or what damage the resulting explosions caused. And yet, the Pentagon says it was not used against civilians. This is one of those moments when it becomes profoundly depressing for me. Here I sit, all of 42 years old, not so far removed in time from my education and my upbringing that I don't remember the wide-eyed, guileless attention rapt that I paid to my teachers who told me about how good and right and upstanding and Christian and moral and decent our nation was. And I will have a hissy at the first person who hauls out the whole William Tecumseh Sherman war as hell business. Although he meant it sincerely, what he said. There are things that if you are the best country on earth, there are things that if you are the representative of freedom and liberty and opportunity on earth, there are things you don't do, and melting children with white phosphorus is damned well one of them. But of course, maybe Flesh Flimball can get on the air and tell, my friends, it's nothing but a fraternity fireworks party. Just like he said that ramming broom handles up the backsides of Iraqis in Abu Ghraib, it was nothing more than a fraternity prank. You see, that's the problem. We have people running opinion and running the law and running the government in this country who are so far removed from anything approaching humanity that they think that death and murder and torture and mayhem and agony is cute. And all I want to know is that the America that my wife and I are passing on to our children? That's all I want to know. This is Head On.
Johnny's gone, and he won't be back no more. Oh, Johnny's gone.
I'm 6.
I'm 9.
I'm 4 and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks, too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Back 11 and a half minutes before the hour, just finishing up with the white phosphorus for a moment, just to give you a little bit of background on it. The use of incendiary weapons such as white phosphorus and napalm against civilian targets is banned by international treaty. We signed it, 1980, Convention on Certain Conventional Weapons, is what it's called. It is prohibited in all circumstances to make the civilian population as such, individual civilians, or civilian objects, the object of attack by incendiary weapons. Now, of course, that seems simple enough to you and me, doesn't it? You know, the reality-based people. But you got to remember, we're dealing... Well, hell, the Attorney General of the United States, Alberto Torquemada Gonzalez, says that the Geneva Conventions are quaint. So I guess not melting the flesh off little children is probably equally quaint with the Bolsheviks, the Bushistas, the Bush regime, right? Yes, dear.
Let's go back to Rush for a minute. Okay, this is a guy who had boils on his bottom. Who ran...
Pilondial cysts,
who
dear.
Ran from service to his country.
Just like most of the other Republicans.
OxyContin yeah. junkie.
Bingo.
Never busted for it.
Well, they're working on that. It's in
oh,
the stat.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, after this many years, if it was anybody else, let's see. I think I've heard it referred to as hillbilly heroin.
That's it's ours, yeah.
Okay, so this guy's got mugu amounts.
Boku, yes.
Of the stuff, and... Nothing's ever done to him, but people tune into him every day and listen to the poison that he spews from that mouth. The guy takes lithium because he's a wreck. He's a nasty. He's not a Republican.
Yes,
he's
he
a,
is.
Wait, no, wait.
Oh, yes,
no,
he is.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Oh, yes,
he's
he is.
He's not a
here.
Republican. He's not a conservative. He's not a liberal. He is absolutely amoebic. That's all he is. He's pawn scum below the pawn scum.
Oh, sure he is, but that doesn't mean he can't be a Republican.
No, the thing of it is
that
he
puts
is,
him in the deer. That puts him in the Republican mainstream.
No, he is a fat cat that rides on whatever stream he can get on, because I guarantee you, if the tides were to change, that boy would sing a completely different tune.
Well, I hate to disagree with you, dear, but I do, because we had 8 years of peace and prosperity under Bill Clinton, and he rode him like a borrowed mule, okay? The tide did change, and he did. No, this guy is Republican scum. That's where he gets his money. That's where it all began. That's where he's going to stay. No, he's not going to flip-flop on that. He's going to stay on his Republican drug-addled hate. The Savage Wiener, he's tried to waffle a little bit because, you know, a lot of right-wing talk radio is dying because people are seeing through the hooey. Who else? Well, O'Reilly and the Wiener both refer to themselves as conservatives and independents. But it doesn't change the fact that they are Republican, your word, pond scum, okay? But, yeah, don't ever, 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 dear, make the mistake of thinking that Flush Flemball is out of the Republican mainstream. He is the Republican mainstream. He's a coward. He's a junkie. He is apparently some sort of sexual prevert because, you know, what, he's on wife, what, three now?
Well, wait a minute. The number one question I have is
actually,
how,
he's done with wife three.
How in the world would he know what a fraternity prank was?
When he's a college dropout.
He's a college dropout, like some other people we know who are nameless.
Carl Rove.
And brags about driving their wife's car and running the gas out of it.
Okay, well,
but
please,
needless
please,
to say, that's the
don't
kind of
make,
thing goes.
Agnes, don't make that mistake. He is an uber Republican. He is a model Republican. He is held up as a paragon of Republican virtue. He's been through three wives, an ox, and he's a junkie. He's just no. He is everything. He's everything. Little poor Republicans aspire to be.
So where is the morality that they keep preaching?
That's for us, honey. That's not for them. They are our betters. They are our superiors. We are the ones who have to be moral. We're the ones who have to be upright. We're the ones who have to be chaste. We're the ones who have to stay married and not get divorced or all of that garbage. We're the ones who have to pay to carry this nation on our backs.
So
not them. They are better than that.
So we're the mules. Is that what you're saying?
No, they've got more regard for a mule than they have an ordinary human being.
And see,
you gotta pay money for a mule.
That's why the unions need to stay strong.
Honey, this is not a union issue.
It's
no,
all...
it's not. No, no, we're...
No, I'm saying jobs, people, the working class.
Sure, every bit of it. But we got to stay on topic. We got to stay on topic here. Everybody needs a good job. Everybody needs to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. We know that. But when we are absolutely eviscerating the soul of America by committing war crimes with napalm and white phosphorus, for God's sakes. Well, I don't know, from a Republican talking point of view, hell, maybe that's the best. Well, you know, you can have all the universal health care you wanted, but it's not going to do anything about a white phosphorus wound, so why bother with universal health care? You never know when you're going to get hit by white phosphorus. Oh! Evil's not stalking the land. Evil is dancing Swan Lake through the land in down-at-heels riding boots. And just in case...
Oh, yeah, that's just liberal propaganda.
Jeff Engelhart is a Marine. He was in Fallujah. Quote, I heard the order to pay attention because they were going to use white phosphorus on Fallujah. In military jargon, it's known as Willy Pete. Phosphorus burns bodies. In fact, it melts the flesh all the way down to the bone. I saw the burned bodies of women and children. But, of course, some mook in the Pentagon knows better. Some guy that gets up, drinks his orange juice, kisses the wife goodbye, drives down the beltway and goes to work in the Pentagon knows better than Jeff Engelhardt, who was there. Oh, let's take a break and then do hour number three. That sounds like a good idea to me. This is Head On.
Yes, we can bomb most any land. On CNN with marching bands. Pour ourselves an ice cold Coke. Make a war. Tell a joke.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
But that don't coincide.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
You know, I've had, we've got real live, honest to God, genuine wing nuts over at headonradio.com. And there have been people who have referred to this show as a liberal love fest. But the fact of the matter is, it's hard to be liberal and progressive sometimes. Because we're fiercely opinionated folks. And it's, you know, it's part of the trouble sometimes that progressive talk radio has. Because we are intelligent, and we all do think that our points are valid, and they are. We don't tune into a junkie like Flush, or a deviant sex addict like O'Reilly Falafel every day to get told what to think and told what to believe. You get my meaning. We're Democrats, we're decent liberals, we're progressives, we're intelligent folks. We're not ditto heads, we're not freepers. And the thing is, give us enough time, we'll talk it through and talk it out and get it figured out. Now, I've got a very good friend who says, tiny steps for tiny feet. And right now, we're in those little steps. Little steps of progress are plenty. Like Congressman Tim Ryan, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, what they're going to have going on C-SPAN this evening. Getting the nation talking. Getting progressives and liberals talking. Because, see, we outnumber the true hateful core of so-called conservatism, my God, multifold. Because real America has to pay its bills. Real America has to meet a monthly budget. Real America is sending its sons and daughters off to die for no good reason. What was the last number? 56-59% of American military families no longer support George Bush. God, wouldn't you hate to be in their shoes? And perhaps some of you are. Knowing that that man is playing games with the lives of your loved ones. Phew. But from the shameless self-promotion department, an email from our buddy Peter in Tallahassee. Kids, I hate to gush, but I got to tell you that you two are the best thing going on progressive talk radio. Thanks, Peter. Thanks a lot. And our... Yes, dear?
Thank you, Peter.
See, we really do like each other, even if we do squabble and fuss. Yes, we do. They can't hear you nodding on radio, dear. Or shaking your head. From our pal Sue on Big Coal River. You don't really expect the truth from this administration, do you? Oh, I know. I got to quit drinking before I go on the air. From the first election or selection, the whole administration has been based on a lie. Yeah. And you know, I don't know what the explanation is for the people who do believe. I've described the 5 years of the Bush administration as, you know, one long bender. America in need of an intervention. Because, you know, look at the deficit. Look at the trade imbalance with China. Look at the amount of bad paper that we've hung in China along the Pacific Rim. And we think that everything is just okay. Anyway, Sue notes, we do the same thing Saddam did, chemical warfare, torture, and that's okay. And only admit it when caught. Because we're the USA. We're the good ones. Yeah. Wonder what Bush would say if the leader of another country decided to get rid of him because he okayed chemical warfare and torture. Well, you know, Sue, that's the scary part. When he initiated preemptive war, when he said it's okay for us to do it because we perceive a threat, by extension, doesn't that tell the rest of the world that they can do to us whatever they wish because they perceive a threat from us? Sure. Absolutely. I look at the mess this country is in, Sue says, and it reminds me of the Cat in the Hat book I used to read to the kids. It went something like, this mess is so big and so deep and so tall, we can't clean it up. There's no way at all. Just think, 3 more years of this and it might be true. On CNN the other day, a Republican senator stated that we needed to elect another Republican president so we can get this mess cleaned up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I sometimes think that, I mean, there are pharmaceuticals out there that will just alter reality for you. And I sometimes think the Republican Party is, we talk about Kool-Aid. You know, maybe it's in the water fountains in the Republican end of the Capitol building. But, you know, don't despair, Sue, because remember, we had 8 years of Ronald Reagan's excesses and ripoffs. And 4 more years of George the First. And yet after 8 years of Bill Clinton making an attempt, he did leave us with a budget surplus of significant proportions. The problem is it only took one more Bush to completely wipe out that surplus and turn it into the most monstrous deficit we've ever had. Well, I read an article the other day, I forget where I saw it. George Bush has sent the United States into more debt in his 5 years in office than every other president of the United States combined. George Washington all the way to Bill Clinton. All that debt combined does not add up to the debt that George Bush, dear leader, has sunk us into. What were the numbers a few months ago? They've gone up, I'm sure. The Bush birth tax. Somewhere in the United States right now, a little baby is entering this world. And that baby is entering this world with something on the order of a $40,000 tab to pay up. Just for being born American. Just for being born in an era of shameless irresponsibility and feckless, cynical, God, cynical what?
So let's take the credit card back. Cut it up. Throw it away.
Freeze it in a block of ice.
No, not even that. Just take it away from him. He's irresponsible. He can't handle the credit card.
Okay, how?
Well, that's where America needs to pull together.
Yeah?
You know, it's not us and them. It's all of us.
No, there's a them out there, dear. There really is a them.
That was my whole point a while ago, is America, yes, there's a war. Yes, it's senseless. We need to bring our troops home. But America has to be strong. We all have to work together. If not, you basically have the Civil War all over again. I'm sure that's what they're hoping for.
Yes, you're absolutely right. In that, you're correct.
But if we all pull together, then the few miscreants that are out there, they're not going to win. And it just depends on how badly you do want your freedom. Freedom's not something you give. Freedom is something that you fight for. That's what our forefathers were about.
But isn't that what the wingnuts keep telling you? Freedom isn't free.
You can't give anyone freedom. And from what I see, you know, Iraq is not free. It's just under another dictator.
Yeah. And another one soon to come.
Well, whoever is the puppet on the string.
No. Chalabi. Well, look, we got to take a break, but you're right to a certain extent. Yeah, we should talk about that. Ahmed Chalabi, Iran's man in Baghdad, that we think is our man in Baghdad, that Donald Rumsfeld's having meetings with. Oy vey. This is Head On.
I never thought I'd change my opinion again, but you moved me in a way that I've never known. But you moved me in a way that I've never known. But straight away you just moved into position again.
Day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Support our troops.
So it's 21 minutes after the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Agnes by my side. Shalabi to New York Times. I am Iran's candidate for Iraqi premiership. Yeah, that Shalabi. The guy who did the bank heist in Jordan. The guy that American soldiers are dying for. Ahmed Chalabi, who has taken several steps that were not well estimated in the past, is seeking to reproduce himself in front of the Americans, whom some observers believe that they would keep a distance between them and the man whose image has shaken a lot due to the policies he adopted in the past. We've got a little broken English going here. Chalabi boasted of obtaining the approval of Tehran for occupying the position of Iraqi prime minister to the New York Times. He said the Iranians promised him that they would not fail him or oppose him in case he attempted to become the Iraqi prime minister. Isn't this charming? How many times have we heard dear leader say, the cause we're fighting for is noble and just? Well, apparently, we're fighting to make sure that Tehran's guy in Baghdad gets to run Iraq and be the new strongman. You understand this is the way it works there. While the Bush administration would have you believe that Saddam Hussein has been running Iraq since Gilgamesh died. He's only been there since the 70s. How did he come to power? He bumped off the rotten SOB who was running Iraq before him. How did he come to power? He bumped off the rotten SOB that was running Iraq before he came to power, who bumped off the king that the British imposed on Iraq after they drew Iraq and said, look, it's Iraq! So now, Ahmed Chalabi is going to be our guy in Baghdad at the same time he's Tehran's guy in Baghdad. Now, Chalabi added, I would not be nominated for premiership as the Iranians told me so. Nevertheless, they would support the process of my nomination for the position of prime minister in case I was locally approved to fill this position through the elections. They would not object to that. Holy cow. Yeah, you remember all those wing nuts who said, why is Cindy Sheehan dishonoring her son's memory by asking these questions of George Bush? Well, maybe she was asking them because it sticks in her craw just a little bit that her boy died so Chalabi could be Tehran's guy in Baghdad.
Isn't that one of the axes of evil?
Yes, yes, they are part of the unicycle of evil.
So, we're allying ourselves with them?
No, we still hate them. We can't wait to bomb them.
But we're taking one of their guys.
And a couple of terrorists to be named later. I mean, yeah.
And talking about Cindy Sheehan, evidently these people don't have children, right? I mean, would they ask any questions if their kids were blown apart in an undeclared war where no one attacked us, but we went over and attacked them?
The war we started? I mean, let's just call it what it is. We started a war.
I keep hearing these people saying, well, we're over there getting them before they come over here. They're not coming. They can't even find a raft to get here. You know, it's not like Cuba.
Yeah, 90 miles. Oh, Cuba. Leave me. No, don't get me started. The Times continued saying that after the Shiite coalition elected Ibrahim al-Jafri for the prime minister last January, rumors were circulated in Baghdad on the Iranian effective intervention to carry al-Jafri to his current position, while al-Chalabi was one of the Iraqi leaders nominated for key positions. We paid him $360,000 a month to tell us about aluminum tubes and double-secret probation chemical factories mounted on semi-flatbed trailers hidden over there, behind that palm tree. Now, you can't see it from this angle, but I've got a super-secret photograph, and it's there, I promise. Yeah.
Yeah, but I want you to think about this. Colin Powell was a stand-up guy, because once he realized that it was all a bunch of smoke and mirrors, he walked away from it.
He realized it was smoke and mirrors when he was getting ready to make the speech. There was stuff, dear, that they wanted, that the administration wanted him to say in the speech. He looked at him and said, I will not repeat this, and the word we use because of concerns about the bug spray. I will not repeat this bug spray. He knew it was, my friends, this is all on solid sources. It was based on curveball.
And he walked away. They had to kick Crisco John out.
No, Crisco John stepped down too.
Well, he was afraid that they were going to put one of those calico cats in his bag. You know, the ones that were, you know, embedded by the devil.
Demon kitty cats, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we have supported them to create an entity together. When he was dealing with the role of his country in Iraq, the United States should acknowledge this force as it is legitimate. It should not stand against it. What force? The Iranian force. Oh, Lordy. But then again, what do you expect from this, an administration that would attack Mexico after Pearl Harbor? I mean, that's what they did. You know, Saudi Arabians attacked us, so we attacked Iraq. And now Iraq is going to be taken over by the Iranians. Up is down, right is left, good is evil. Welcome to Orwell World. Let's take a break. This is Head On.
We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on.
Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and Coast Guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Nationality and principality have come for a piece of the pie. I'm sitting in the wreck of Europe with a map of Europe, and the lines and the borders are gone. Gotta do this jigsaw puzzle, it's an awful muddle, but somehow we gotta go on. Lawrence of Arabia is waiting in the wings. He's got some Arab sheikhs and kings, and we're in debt to them somehow. Lawrence of Arabia has got this perfect vision, gonna sell him down the river, there's no time for him now. I think I'm gonna take a piece of Russia and a piece of Germany and give them to Poland again. I'll put together Yugoslavia and Czechoslovakia and hope that is how they'll remain. Then I'll take a bit of Turkey, then a lot of Turkey. This is all quite a heady affair. There's pressure on Iraq to pick up, and there's Churchill's hiccup, and we can't leave it up in the air. Woodrow Wilson waves his 14 points around and says the time to act is now, won't get this opportunity again. Woodrow Wilson has his 14 points, but Clemenceau turns to Lloyd George and says, you know that God himself had only 10. It's a day I'm carried by a league of notions, by a league of emotions I don't think I quite understand. I only know from this commotion there's a chance that we could turn the world in the palm of our hands. I'm carried by a league of notions, by a league of notions I don't think I quite understand. I only know from this commotion that's a chance that we could turn the world in the palm of our hands.
I don't think I understand.
I only know
Okay, let's take it home with some style and some panache and a giggle or two and a chuckle. You remember how, you do, back when, what's his name, the Michael Bolton, you know, how can I live without, no, John Bolton, when we made him UN ambassador. And all the talk was, well, we need a firm hand. You know, this is the guy who said he wanted to destroy the United Nations building. You know, just like Bill O'Reilly said he wanted the Coit Tower bombed by Al-Qaeda in San Francisco. Well, now John Bolton says that the Bush administration requires nothing less than a revolution of reform at the United Nations. That would cover everything from Security Council engagement management changes to a focus on administrative skills in choosing the next Secretary General. In other words, if... We don't want the United Nations. We want the United States nations. These punks, these thugs, these killers, these murderers. These mayhem artists. From the Bush administration. My God, they don't want to cooperate with the rest of the world. They want to rule it. Yeah, he's got... We have to decide whether a particular issue is best done through the UN or best do through some other mechanism. One alternative to the United Nations is for regional organizations to play a larger role. Because it's easier for us to control a smaller organization. Can you imagine that? There are elements in our government, yours, mine, ours, we the people, who want to rule the world. Who want to rule the world. And it's a little disturbing. I mean, wasn't there a little guy with a Charlie Chaplin mustache who wanted to rule the world? Did he kind of come to no good end?
I am so glad.
Is that, you know, we don't want to rule the world, do we?
No, I'm sorry.
Don't we have enough to do ruling our own country? But John Bolton wants to throw a shoe at Kofi Annan, I guess. Oh my God. Oh, and a completely unrelated subject, but something that you probably ought to be, just because they're such good guys, it's hard to imagine them doing this. A U.S. investigation of Halliburton's pension plans has uncovered three violations of the law, including charging some costs of Halliburton's, get this, costs of Halliburton's executive pension and bonus plans to the workers' pension fund. How about that? The Labor Department concluded that Halliburton's actions violated U.S. pension law prohibitions against self-dealing and using pension money for the benefit of the company, as well as the requirement to handle pension money with care, skill, prudence, and diligence. You get that? Halliburton was charging its executives' pensions against their workers' pensions. Welcome to Bush America, sunshine. It's a city on the hill. It's morning in America, and that's morning with a U. Let's go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, your head on.
Hey, that's an amazing story.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I really don't know what what that's all about. But I thought only union guys committed that pension fraud stuff.
Well, they do.
Now, I mean, Burton's non-union. You know?
Yeah, right. Well, and of course, therefore, it wasn't pension fraud. Again, right. There are betters. The laws are for us.
Right. Any of them guys named Hoffa or anything?
I haven't gotten to the part of the story about where the kneecaps were taken out, Wayne.
Oh, God. These people are absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Number one, why is Shalaby even allowed back in this country? Wasn't he proven to be a double agent?
Well, yeah.
On top of being a liar and scumbag and bank embezzler or whatever.
And that last one's the one that kind of jumped all over me, Wayne. Consider for a moment, this guy has been convicted of embezzlement and you know, just general thievery in Jordan, with whom we are having real sympathy right now because they just got bombed.
Yeah. Exactly.
And this guy comes over here, and he's ripped off Jordanian institutions, and we're kissing and hugging and smiling with him.
Yeah, the amazing part about it is, the majority of people are sitting there going, oh, wow. I mean, where's the outrage?
We've got our fair share of it here, but, you know, we just we haven't
spread. Well, we have to raise the outrage. I mean, these people are just, they're absolutely nuts. Their defenses and even the people that support him. And I hate to keep bringing up that other show and all that, but I mean, my God, I know one thing. I don't think that guy records any of his shows.
No.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing, because if he ever listened to one of his shows, he'd quit. if he had any honor at all. I mean, the arguments this guy puts forth. You know, they're talking today, okay, the O'Reilly thing with, what, San Francisco?
Yeah.
Or I guess, I don't know, whatever. And then it's California where they're trying, or where they voted not to allow recruiters in the school.
Well, just San Francisco, not the whole state.
Just San Francisco?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I think,
what's
you know,
wrong
I said.
What are recruiters doing in the schools anyway?
Yeah,
if you want to join the service, don't they still have offices? That's where I went and joined.
Right. I mean, we send our kids to school to learn stuff, not to be, hustled by the military, by Amway, or by,
or anybody else.
Right.
You know, or a church, for
yeah.
that matter. That's what public's, give me a break.
I know, it's one of those.
People, and then now, so I don't know how they got to it, but I don't know. I guess we're going to apologize to the Japanese and the Germans and all because of these people voted not to have recruiters in the schools. We shouldn't have fought the war, Second World War. We shouldn't have fought any wars.
That's
how they got to that.
That's what Falafel Boy is saying.
Yeah. I mean, he's, oh, God.
I know. It just, I joke about I need to stop drinking before I go on the air and stuff, but, and that's clearly a joke, but there are times that you hear these people and you wonder if
you're living in the same world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And then, the things that, I don't know how people can deny. I don't know how anyone, even the 7 or 8 people, that participate in that thing in the morning, I don't know how they, the people can't tell the truth about anything. They haven't told the truth. They couldn't tell the truth about Pat Tillman's death.
Nope.
They couldn't tell the truth about what's our West Virginia?
You're talking about Lindy England or
No.
Oh, the girl from Palestine, Palestinian West Virginian.
Exactly. Yeah, the Palestinian West Virginian.
Jessica Lynch. There we go.
I apologize for not remembering her name. The little girl was the hero, but then they made up this huge story.
Yeah, where she
was a hero just for being there.
Right, but they had to crank it up where she was gang raped by 9-foot-tall Iraqi.
And her gun was emptied. Oh, she fought till the end.
Quit it.
Got knocked unconscious in the truck wreck, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, They can't even tell the truth about basic things like that.
Yeah.
How the hell do you trust them on anything?
Well, look, I mean, look at this white phosphorus thing, Wayne.
You know, I'm not as up on you.
No. I mean, yeah, it's real easy. We some people said, hey, you people are using incendiary munitions in against civilians. And the Pentagon said, no, we're not. We're only using it for illumination. And then they brought out a few more pictures and a little more testimony. And then we said, well, yes, we are, but it's only against the insurgents. And then the Italian
team. Is it I insurgents or E insurgents?
I insurgents? Yeah.
Do they all got little eyes on the back? You know, do they wear hats on top so that the airplane can see? Oh, there they are. See them eyes?
Oh, no, it's a smart shell, Wayne.
Oh, okay. It's smart phosphorus.
Yeah. Jesus.
My God.
You know, and now George Bush has gone off to Outer Mongolia.
Yeah, what's he doing there?
It's the last place on Earth they won't protest him.
Nobody will show up anyway, will they? Mongolia, where's that? I don't know.
Inner Mongolia, Outer Mongolia. It's
near Russia somewhere, right?
Yeah, it's between China and Russia, and, it's like the post office in Brooklyn. You can't get there from here.
Okay, all I remember is movies with nice hats and
yeah, and those cool tents called yurts.
Yeah,
yeah. No, but you remind me of something that's worth asking. Now Bush has gone on this trip, and do you remember? Do you remember how? Who was it? Michael Moore and somebody. Somebody was abroad in another country, and they said something critical of George Bush, and all the wingnuts got on TV and said, politics ends where the water begins. Say anything you want to while you're here, but don't dare say anything bad about the United States while you're abroad. Remember all that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Then why is Dear Leader going to all these other nations and talking trash on Democrats?
Because he has no honor. That's why.
Yeah, that is why.
That's exactly why. Doesn't know what the word means. You know, there are times when I honestly and truly, I feel bad for him. You know, I mean, the guy is really being used. He never wanted this. You know, his great, dream was to be baseball commissioner, right?
Exactly.
They should have let him do that. He probably would have done a hell of a job. You know what I mean? There are times when I feel bad for him, I guess.
Yeah, because if you're baseball commissioner and you sit back and you shut up, you know, it's a 150-year-old institution, and it'll run itself pretty much.
And it pays pretty good, I imagine, and probably all expenses are paid.
Great
and
seats at the World Series.
Cool people.
Yeah.
Hell, they should have gave him that, But, I mean, because all this is way over his head, and he's not controlling anything, as far as I'm concerned, and hasn't for a long time.
Well, the amazing thing I mentioned a little bit earlier, the thing that just insulted the hell out of me, Wayne, and maybe will you too, the speech he gave in Pennsylvania on Friday?
Yeah.
Same speech he gave about a week earlier, word for word.
Is that right? That's how he honored the veteran?
Yeah.
Okay.
By repeating a canned speech.
Thanks a lot, pal. There's one veteran that really appreciates you.
Yeah, really moved you, didn't it?
Yeah, what a bum.
What a bum, indeed.
Boss, I haven't heard most of the show. I just got home here. I don't know.
Yeah, you were at a meetup or something, weren't you?
Yeah, Democratic meetup. You know, Howard Dean called and all that jazz.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
I like Howie. I like him. I like him a lot.
Howard Dean. I advocated for Howard Dean. I advocated to have the votes that we had in West Virginia, which I think were 3 or 4, for party chair.
Right.
And they voted unanimously for Howard Dean, and I think that's a very good move.
Indeed. And have you seen the latest attack on him?
What? He tells the truth too much?
That's the underpinnings of it.
Right.
But you saw it really starting to get its legs on Meet the Press Sunday.
I saw him. I thought he did well.
Yeah, but did you, Tim Russert, you're not raising enough money, Dr. Dean. Does that mean you're a failure? Did you catch that part?
Yeah, he did say that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And as it turns out, Terry McAuliffe, when he was running the Democratic Party, we were out, and the Republicans are always going to out-fundraise us. They've got more money than we do.
That's not what Democrats are about anyway. Democrats are about the people.
That's true, but you know, you got to have some money to get to the people.
Yeah, you do.
But the point here is,
you don't have to have as much as the people that don't relate to the people.
Yeah, the Republicans out-fundraised Terry McAuliffe 3-1, and now they're out-fundraising Howard Dean 2-1.
But that sounds like a reversal of what was happening.
No, that means that Howard Dean is an abject failure. This is
right.
You know, this
oh,
is
I forgot. Okay, right.
Yeah, this is Republican miracle math made easy, okay?
What did they call it in 84? Rethink? What was it? Something think? Wasn't there something in there to that?
Yeah.
You know, war is peace.
Oh, yeah. That's groupthink.
Groupthink. Is that what it was?
Well, that's what we got caught up in the rush to war, groupthink. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Oh, and there's a nurse. You know, I don't know, man. You got other callers or something? Am I taking up too
much? Chris is waiting, but that's okay. Okay. We'll get to him in a sec.
Okay. I went through all that. I forgot it. You know, it went in and out. And now I don't even know what I was going to say. Something else that upset me, but, you know. I'm going to let Chris get on.
Okay, sounds good.
And be irate.
Well, all right, good enough.
Okay, pal.
Later, Wayne.
Bye.
Bye now. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Now, I just want to clear something up here.
All right.
Now, the reason I go on the Kodo is I want to get one of them cars. See them cars there, people call them rice burners. So I'm looking in alternative fuels. See?
Jesus.
I'm an environmental president. You got to understand here.
Rice, it's the fuel of the future.
It's fuel. You can eat it. Now, you know, there's not much rice in Tex-Mex dinners. You know, it's microwave. But,
I like the rice.
You like the rice? You can run in cars. You can even get French fry fuel. Smells like French fries. I don't know why.
Oh, God. You know, I laugh.
I'm not finished, Pop.
Okay.
I know where you live. Now, just listen now.
All right.
I hear you're on the radio now.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm going to Mongolia because they got horses. Horses in Mongolia.
But, Mr. President, I thought you didn't like to ride horses.
Well, I didn't say I was going to ride them. They're good to eat.
I thought that's what the French did.
Now, George, you know you're afraid of horses. Just say no.
Horses, French fries. Oh, my God. They're both having to do with the French.
Mm.
Oh, no. I tell you what I need, Bob.
What's that?
Everything's going bad. I need me a Monaco whiskey. And now they ran that Gannon boy off, so I got to look for something else. Let's see here. Wonder what Mondale's doing.
Oh, they're crazy. They're
nuts. They're, I mean, anything you can make up has a possibility of being true.
Yeah, it does. Well, we've got some commentary on Dear Leader's trip to Outer Mongolia here, Chris. You and David may be on the same page. Dear Leader went to Mongolia to have a friendly news conference. Any place where no questions come to him in English. And to have a clay bowl of fermented yak milk.
What'd they do, keep the press off the plane?
I guess.
It's the same press that's been following him around. I mean, they're going to follow him there, aren't they?
All the way to Mongolia.
Can't we go back to Crawford? They got coffee there.
Nah, I tell you, you haven't lived till you've had the fermented yak's milk.
Yak's milk.
Yeah, if you've ever seen, what is it? Never Give a Sucker an Even Break with W.C. Fields. It's nanny goat's milk. It's very
yak
sweet.
Milk. Can't you make cheese from that?
Yeah, and it's fermented too.
Yeah, you put.
I don't think that counts in me not a drinking no more.
Laura likes that cheese in the bedroom. You know what I mean? Wine and cheese.
Oh God.
Yak wine.
Yak wine. I yacked.
Yak wine.
You know, I yacked once when I was down there in protecting Texas from the Viet Mexicans. I've been drinking that cheap tequila and snorting cocaine for 2 or 3 days, and I yacked real big.
Well, see, Condi, Laura wouldn't let Condi come on this flight. See, and Karen Hughes and Condi, well, I'm going to see it all on videotape when I get back.
Oh, Lord. Now, wait a minute. I got a study over here about obscenity in American broadcasting, Chris.
I didn't say any. I only hinted.
Nudge is as good as a wink to a blind man, Chris. Remember.
Well, just imagine, Karen Hughes.
Yes.
Going into the priesthood. People always say, "No, this has been."
There's a reason I have a hard time getting to sleep when this show is over, Chris.
This has been said on television, so I can say it. Alan Alda, on one of the episodes of MASH, one of the episodes that his dad was on, he's asking, what do they do? Are they surgeons? And Hawkeye says, I'm a OBGYN for the FBI. And I always used to tell people, you know, around here, we go, huh, what are you working at? Or what do you do? I say, I'm a OBGYN for the FBI. And they're like, yeah, right. I said, no, seriously. That lady, the big tall one with the Parkinson's, that's why I had to retire.
Oh, God, we're going to quit now, Chris.
Thanks for letting me get on the air, Wayne. Wayne called me up last night. I learned quite a few things.
Good. Go in with your eyes open, man. And for God's sakes, I never got to the story, Chris, but if they offer to house you at a military base like Belle Chasse... and give you $14 and pay you $8 an hour, do not accept it. That's apparently the latest gig with they're recruiting people from central Mexico, Oaxaca, telling them they'll pay them $8 a day. They bring them in there, they clear the brush, they kick their butts out on the street, and they're sleeping on the streets of New Orleans now.
Well, you can get your yard cut in Roswell, Alabama, for a carton of Marlboro.
Yeah, brother.
You can get landscaping and everything.
Let's all sing. My country. No. All right, we're out of here, Chris.
International, why not?
Yeah, all right, later.
All right.
Bye now. Okay, Agnes produced the show tonight. I know that for a fact because she's sitting here right next to me. The announcements were made by our pal Brian Reznor. Randy Carboy engineered. And Ben Birch, of course, at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Well, Ben does a little bit of everything. He manages the archive for us and manages the live stream that you're listening to. So next chance you get, thank Ben. If you're up to it, thank him financially. That would be even better. Joe Vecchio's got a fundraising drive, too. He could use your help. And more than anything else, RMR, it's all for you.